Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Very well done. Very well done.
Thank you, Floyd. I appreciate it. Ryan Porth here, filling in for Jared Stillman. He has the day off. He'll be back tomorrow. A lot of stuff for Floyd Reese and I to get into on this Monday afternoon here in Nashville. Floyd, how you doing today?
I'm excited. I'm really excited. I mean, I know no matter what happens today, this is going to be a great show because I'm working with the boss.
Yes. It is PD and the GM today on your drive home from work here in Music City. Did you have a good weekend?
I did. Great weekend. Really enjoyed it. Didn't do a bunch, you know. Spent a little time with the kids, but
there you go.
Still was fun.
Yeah. I went golfing yesterday.
Ooh.
I did not have as good of a day as Jordan Spieth. I'll just leave it at that. So this weekend, I spent a lot of time looking in the Athlon Sports NFL Preview Magazine. And later on this hour, we'll get into what the Nashville Predators did at the NHL Draft in Chicago. Paul Fenton, assistant GM of the Preds, will be joining us at 2:45. But I spent some time looking at this magazine this weekend, Floyd, and a couple things stood out, and one we'll get into later in the show, and I am thoroughly looking forward to that conversation.
I know you are.
But they have their AFC power rankings.
Uh-huh.
And number one, they had New England.
Mm-hmm.
No surprise there.
No.
I mean, they are the reigning champs, and they got better in the offseason, you would think.
And I don't even know who number two is, but I know there's a space between New England and whoever's number two is.
Yeah. Well, number two is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay.
And as long as they can stay healthy, I mean, you would imagine that they are the team that could rival New England in an AFC championship game. If they're healthy, if they're clicking on all cylinders, you couldn't say that about them last year. I mean, they had suspensions and injuries and just a whole lot of things going on that kept them from really competing in that AFC championship.
And the way, you know, the way Pittsburgh plays, they're going to end up with some of that every year. And I don't mean that as a negative. I mean, I love the way they play, but it is so violent and it is so physical that, you know, if you're not real careful, you end up getting more people hurt than you want.
Right. So. Number three on Athlon's AFC power rankings are the Oakland Raiders.
No shock.
No shock there. I mean, they're up and coming. Number four, Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I would agree with that to an extent, as long as Alex Smith is their quarterback and not rookie Pat Mahomes.
Right.
And then number five is the Tennessee Titans,
which
I was a little surprised they were that high. But on the same wavelength, not really, because we've seen Peter King come out in Sports Illustrated and list the Titans as his number four team in the entire NFL, let alone the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's there are other magazines out there that are picking the Titans to win the AFC South.
And the Titans are an easy team to pick because if you, you know, what John and Mike Mularkey did last year, of course, I think is, you know, has given a rise to the expectations after this year. Then you turn right around and go back and have another good draft and fill the spots that we know we needed help. And I think everybody's assuming that, you know what, we're going to pluck a Jack Conklin all-pro tackle out of all these drafts. And,
right.
And maybe John can do it. I mean, I certainly hope he can. It's hard. But I think, you know, this is what's unique about the Titans right now. I think if you look at this team as a whole, look at the 22 guys, I'm not sure there's a big void. There's not an area now where you look at it and you say, they don't have anybody there.
Right.
The problem is that a lot of the people that we do have there are young guys, untested guys, guys that have been someplace else that we hope fit in and all those things. Now, is that part of the league? Yeah, it is. You know, that's part of the business. And knowing John and knowing how John has kind of approached all this, I feel really good because of John as much as anything else, because I know he's going to bring in the right kind of kids and the people that he's going to draft are going to be the right kind of guys. And so, you know, it's just a matter of, are they going to be good enough fast enough?
Right. And you're alluding to, I would assume, the secondary.
Primarily.
Mostly because Logan Ryan, a free agent signing from New England, Adoree Jackson, a first-round pick out of USC. You don't know how they are going to fit in. You would like to hope that they're going to fit in just great, and it's going to be, you know, one of the more improved secondaries in the NFL.
And very well could be that. It's just, you know, with Logan, I think you feel good about him. I mean, I knew enough about him at New England that he's got the versatility and he's got the skills to do a lot of things, which I'm sure Dick LeBeau has fallen in love with. With Adoree, we're not quite sure. Now, is he blessed? Oh, this guy's got all the skills. I mean, this guy, when you watch him play, he's one. Every time he touches the ball, you kind of go, because he can do anything with it. But he had his moments where he struggled. You know, I mean, you watch especially Washington, and a couple of times against some pretty good receivers, he struggled a little bit. And is that immaturity? Is it a bunch of things? Yeah, it probably is. So they'll have to take care of that.
To go through the rest of the Athlon AFC power rankings, Baltimore at 6, Denver at 7, Miami at 8, Houston at 9, ooh, Buffalo at 10, the LA Chargers at 11, Indy at 12, Cincinnati at 13. Mm. I know you think that's a little too low for them.
Oh, yeah.
Jacksonville 14, the Jets 15, and Cleveland 16. And I guess the question I have when looking at this is, does Tennessee fit in as the fifth best team in the AFC? In your mind?
I mean, I don't think I could put them there in my mind. I mean, I'm not sure about who they had. They had Baltimore below us. They had Denver below us. They had
Miami, Houston.
Houston. I mean, a bunch of teams that we've struggled with and that are playoff teams. The things that have made us so excited about the Titans, every team on that list has done. You know, and they're all saying the same kinds of things. In Miami, they're saying, hey, we made the playoffs last year. You know, we haven't done it twice in quite a while, so get excited. And, you know, we brought in some new players and the quarterbacks playing and on and on and on. So, you know, the teams that have the voids, the teams that you're concerned about primarily, the quarterbacks, of course, you know, Denver, you worry about what they're going to end up with, and Houston, you worry about, you know, what they're going to end up with.
Right.
The thing that we have to keep in mind about Houston, and we have said this every, this will be their fifth straight different starting quarterback. And out of those five, they've won the division four times.
That's pretty good.
So as long as the quarterback doesn't completely mess it up, they've got a pretty good chance of playing pretty good.
But here's my thing, I guess, with these AFC power rankings is, while the Titans may seem a little high at 5, what teams in the conference can you say are decisively better than the Titans? One, New England, obviously. They're better than the rest of the league.
Right.
Pittsburgh.
Right.
They've got so much talent on that offense. Oakland,
right?
I would say they're probably a year. They're on the Titans are on the same path as the Raiders, just a year behind them.
I think you're right.
And you know, Derek Carr's a great quarterback. 4, I would say Kansas City, as long as Alex Smith is their quarterback and not rookie Pat Mahomes, are decisively better than the Titans. Mm-hmm. But I look at the rest of the list. I don't know if you can decisively say another team in the AFC is better than the Titans. Baltimore. They're a good team. They just got Jeremy Maclin. So, you know, that's a big help to them offensively. That's a huge weapon for Joe Flacco to have. He hasn't had many weapons over the last couple years that have been able to stay healthy.
Right. I mean, I think when as listen to you read off that list, I mean, when you get to the last three or four teams, you get to Jacksonville, the Jets, Cleveland.
Garbage.
Yeah. I mean, so eliminate them.
Yep.
So we can drop them out of it. The rest of those guys, I mean, you can put them in a bag and shake them up and see where they come out.
So you're saying, I mean, from 5 to 13?
In my mind, yeah, right now. I mean, you don't know where Denver's going to end up. You don't know how Simeon's going to play. And Baltimore, I think Baltimore is going to be better. How much better? You know, they've got – Flacco's got to got to find the magic again. And so, I mean, there are some teams in there that have a chance to be good. And I keep thinking, you know, like with Denver, they may have the best defense in the NFL. I mean, they're really, really good on defense. And so, you know, is that going to create a problem for a lot of people? Yeah, it is. I mean, I think the Chargers should be better. You know, the Chargers are way down that list too. So,
right.
Anyway.
Well, a lot of publications are coming out with their predictions, and a lot of them are picking the Titans to be good and win the AFC South. Are those expectations good for this Tennessee Titans team? We'll get into that next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming at you live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Porth filling in for Jared Stillman. Alongside Floyd Reese, it's Jared and the GM. Last segment we talked about kind of the AFC power rankings and the landscape of the conference as Athlon's magazine put it out in their NFL preview. And, you know, one thing that I've really noticed over the last couple weeks in seeing these magazines is that the Titans are kind of a sexy pick to win the AFC South and possibly win a playoff game. And my question to you, Floyd, is – you know, last year there were no expectations for this team. Right. They ended up 9-7, but a lot of the expectations were 4, 5, 6 wins. An improvement from the year before, but still not a playoff contender. And they were right there in December contending for the playoffs. Now that these expectations have changed nationally and this Titans team is under more of a microscope, is that a good thing for the Titans?
I mean, it's a good thing from the standpoint that you're starting to move up the ladder. People are starting to pay attention. It's a really, really tough thing from the standpoint that expectations are, in fact, you know, bigger. You're expected to do more.
Yep.
And I think that's that makes it hard. I don't, and I think this is what you have to question, and this I have to get right in my mind even. Is I see us beat Kansas City. I see us beat Denver. I see us lose to Jacksonville.
Yep.
Now, which one of those teams is the real team? And I don't think I can put my finger on it. I mean, I don't think I can say that, you know what, that team that beat Kansas City is the team we're going to see the entire year.
Right.
Because we hadn't seen it before, and we certainly didn't see it against Jacksonville. But I'm not going to say... You know, I mean, if we get to play Jacksonville again, I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we'll go out and it'll be different. So I'm kind of caught in between there. I know that, and I think you hit it right on the head when you said they're a sexy pick, and that's exactly right. They're a sexy pick, and it's exciting for us, and I think all of that is really, really positive. I just think we need to keep in mind. That I'm not, it's kind of like the Preds this season. You know, if we would have played Chicago in the third series, would we have swept them?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So which team was it? Well, it was a good enough team to get to the final. So, I mean, it was a pretty good team. But I don't know when we start thinking about, you know, where the Titans are going to end up next year. And you say, okay, we're going to start at 9 wins. I'm not sure I can say that in my mind.
Okay.
I mean, it's certainly not 3 wins.
No.
You know, but when you jump 6 wins in a season, nobody ever does that. 6-win jump is phenomenal. And so in my mind, I think that's really, really good. But I'm not sure that I can say, okay, this is a plus-6 win team. I'm thinking maybe it's 5. You know, maybe it's 4.5. Maybe it's a little bit less. So I can't. You see people saying, well, we won 9 last year and we're going to be at least, you know, two wins, you know, better. So we're going to win 11. I'm going, whoa, now, you know, winning 11 games in the NFL is hard. That's tough duty.
Especially when this group hasn't done it before.
Never done it, you know. And so I am really excited. I'm happy for them. I'm cautiously optimistic.
We mentioned how the Titans are the sexy pick. You remember who the sexy pick was last year for the AFC South?
I don't.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Were they?
And they were the same Jacksonville Jaguars that we've seen over the last decade.
That's exactly right.
But it's funny because I went golfing yesterday with some buddies, and I was asking them, they're all Titans fans, so I was asking them, you know, what do you guys think? What do you guys think are the Titans, what are they going to do? And one of my friends said, I just hope they can beat Jacksonville twice in a season. No more of this splitting with Jacksonville. Yeah, beat them twice.
Well, the number one issue, the number one thing that we do have to conquer is we've got to be able to take the division over. And we, for whatever reason, have really, really struggled with that. And it's hard. It's hard to get any traction in the playoffs. It's hard to win the division. It's hard to do if you can't beat division teams. So we are going to have to find a way to beat Indy. We're going to have to find a way to beat Houston, and we're going to have to sweep Jacksonville now.
There's no doubt about it.
I mean, that's got to be the starting point. So if we can do that, I think we'll be in great shape.
Would it be a success to you if they split with Houston, split with Indy, and sweep Jacksonville?
You know, it would certainly be a step in the right direction, yes.
Right.
You know, you win four division teams. I mean, that may be good enough to win the division.
That might be good enough to get to 10 wins.
Right.
And in this division, that might be enough.
Right. And if you can win the division, and if you can win 10 games, and you can do just what you said, then I think that's a giant step. Now you're at least on your way. You know, you're going to be competitive with any team that you play. I mean, the truth is the start of this next season, the schedule, that first 4 or 5 weeks or whatever it is, I mean, that'll tell us a lot, because I think if I'm not mistaken, I think we play Houston in there early, and then of course we got the Raiders, you know, and I mean, we've got some teams that are pretty stout teams.
For all the latest news, coverage, and everything sports in Tennessee, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. On Twitter, we're at 1025 The Game. On Instagram, we're at The Game Nashville. And if you want to listen online, download our app, The Game Nashville, to listen to Nashville's best sports talk. And I know, Floyd, that with the Titans, you're a little hesitant. You know, you mentioned it last segment. You don't want to put the cart before the horse and make them the fifth best team in the AFC before the season.
Right.
And I've heard you and Jared Stillman talk about it in recent shows, that you kind of have the Titans still pegged as the second or third best team in the AFC simply because they haven't proven to you that they can beat Houston or Indy.
And that's key, because again, if you can't, you know, if you can't beat Houston, can't beat Indy, and split with Jacksonville, you can maybe win 9 or 10 games and you're not make the playoffs.
Right.
You know, because somebody else is going to win the division and on and on. And I think we have struggled so mightily against our division foes, you know, which is usually it's the opposite. You know them so well and they know you so well. Worst case scenario is you're going to split
right
through the division. And even if you're not a very good team, you're going to split through the division. And so everybody kind of takes that as status quo. And then the really, really good teams, you know, maybe they'll sweep one, maybe sweep two if you're a really good team. And if you can do that, then you're probably going to run away with the division and do well in the playoffs. But man, oh man, we just had a hard, hard time.
As we sit here on July 26th, how would you rank the four teams in the AFC South?
I mean, I can't rank Tennessee as much as I love them. I can't rank them ahead against Houston or Indy until they beat them. I mean, they've got to show me they can beat them. I mean, we're 1-15 against Indy. 1-15. Let that sink in, people. That's one win in 8 years. And Houston has won the division 4 out of the last 6 years.
And quite frankly, in the games that have mattered against the Texans, they have had the Titans' number.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of been true throughout the division, you know? I
right.
mean, and Jacksonville's a great example of it last year.
Right.
I mean, the only game that we had to win.
Had to win.
Yes, yep. And we couldn't do it against a division foe and a very, not even mediocre, you know, a poor division foe
right.
at that point in time. Now, they just changed coaches, and they had a bunch of things that they were going through that I'm sure helped them. I'm sure that was all big. But, you know, if you're a Titan fan, you got to say, hey, we got to find a way to win that game. Now, I just don't care.
So would you have Houston 1, Indy 2, Tennessee 3, and Jacksonville 4?
I probably would, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I differ on that.
I know. I mean, a lot of people would, and I can understand why you would. I just got to see it.
You got
to
see it.
You show it to me, and I am hoping against hope that it happens, but I got to see it.
I would have the Titans pegged at number 1 in the AFC South. I like the improvements they made this season. Houston 2, you know, they do get J.J. Watt back in the lineup, but, you know, can he stay on the field? I guess that's the big question with J.J. Watt now, that he's having these injury problems, these back problems. Can he stay healthy?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a big question mark, and I think their schedule's pretty tough. Houston, I would have Indianapolis 3. Mm-hmm. I think it's going to take a year or two for Chris Ballard to fix all of Ryan Grigson's problems, and then obviously Jacksonville 4.
And it's interesting because as you go through and you say, it's just like we were talking about Houston, you know, they've got a new quarterback. Yeah, they got one every year. You know, it doesn't make any difference. They go ahead and win the division. Is Indy going to be better? I don't think there's any doubt Indy's going to be better. I mean, they've brought in some players in the secondary where they needed help. They've gotten help with the offensive line. They've, you know, they're stepping in the right direction. Now, how far will that carry them? I don't know. But, I mean, you know, Luck has shown us – I mean, let's face it. Last year when we played Indy, they were not very pretty. I mean, it was not a pretty team. And, you know, they beat us twice.
Still couldn't find a way.
Nope.
Coming up next, we're going to shift from the Titans to the Preds. And the Preds had a big draft this weekend up in Chicago. And they selected Eli Tolvanen with their 30th overall pick. You'll hear from David Poile his thoughts on getting a guy that they really liked. You'll hear from Poile, and we'll talk about players falling in the draft and whether Floyd cringed at all during some of his past NFL drafts at players falling on the draft board. You're listening to Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming at you live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is Jared and the GM. Ryan Porth here filling in for Jared Stillman. He has the day off. He will be back tomorrow alongside Floyd Reese. And Floyd, the Preds had a big weekend in Chicago with their 2017 NHL draft, and they had the latest pick they've ever had in the first round at 30th overall. And in past years, that would mean a 30th overall pick would mean you won the Stanley Cup. But now that Vegas feels like they have to get in on the NHL action, the 31st pick is now the Stanley Cup champion. But the Preds felt like they had a pretty good draft. And coming up at 2:45, we'll hear from assistant general manager Paul Fenton. He'll call in and we'll talk about some of the prospects that they drafted. But David Poile over the weekend joined Willie Donick up in Chicago during some of our draft coverage, and he feels like at 30th overall, the pick of Eli Tolvanen was of good value.
I think we are. I mean, our scouts got a lot of confidence in them. Jeff Kelty does a really good job. He knows exactly what we need and what we want to get. You know, I think we've worked together for so many years that we know the types of players that we draft, and our scouts do a good job. I really feel on the first pick and Tolvanen that in our minds, we got very, very fortunate, you know, being 30th pick. That's a player that we've had in our top 10 all year long. And I've looked at a lot of different other lists that come out and just, you know, reading and all. To me, nobody ever had him lower than like 20th in the draft. So, to me, I feel very fortunate because it's really the type of player that we're looking for. He's a fast winger that has got an unbelievable release, and he can score goals. I mean, that's the type of player we've been looking for, trying to add to our lineup in the last, three or four drafts, these offensive players. And I think we got a really good one there in our first pick.
When you look at some of the pre-draft rankings, Eli Tolvanen was a guy that was rated in the top 10 or 15 prospects that were available in the draft. And by all accounts, the Preds were a little surprised he was there at 30th overall. So that means they were sitting there at 30 as every team made their pick, thinking, man, how is Eli Tolvanen still there on the board? You know, 22 goes by, 23, 24. Man, we might have a chance to get this guy. and then they get him at 30, and you know, hopefully Tolvanen can turn into a good player for the Preds. We may not see him in the NHL for a couple of years, but like Poile said there, he's a little bit smaller in size, 5'10", but from everything you read online, it raves about Tolvanen's skill level. But I wanted to ask you, Floyd, about kind of the mindset of a GM in the draft room. And your draft room wasn't on the floor of on the field of an NFL stadium with all 32 teams gathered with their draft tables all in one setting. You were in, you know, the sports park,
right,
in your offices going through the draft with your big draft board. And we always see players fall throughout the draft. It happens every draft, every sport. When you're a GM and you see a guy that you really like, but going into the draft, you don't feel like you have a realistic chance at getting him. Say you're at 20, you think he's going to go 10 or even 5, and you see that guy falling. What goes through your mind? Do you cringe at the fact that, ooh, maybe some of these other teams know something we don't, or do you get excited and maybe you try to trade up to get that guy?
Well, first of all, I'd like to compliment David on his – every GM that ever makes a pick, the first thing out of your mouth is, we didn't expect him there. He was so much better. That's, you have to do that. That's in the GM code book. But seriously, I mean, I think David was sincere about that. And we know how candid he is. So anything that comes out of David's mouth is the truth. But I think it depends on how well you know the player. If you know the player and you know a situation, you understand what's going on, I think, of course, you get really, really excited about it. If you're not quite sure and maybe there's a question mark in your mind, and then all of a sudden he starts falling, then, of course, you start thinking about other things. You know, did he – crazy things, like did he get in a car wreck last night? You know, is he in jail? What could it be? But we had – I went through this actually twice, and it ended up good both times. So I'm hoping for David is the same. We were with Javon Kearse. We thought Javon would be a top 5 or 6 pick. And he kept falling to us and kept falling. And I actually tried to trade up at a point in time just because I was so scared to death. When you see him and you see him falling to you, you get so eager. You think, golly, how, you know, he's come so far. I just can't let it pass. And so you start fighting to find a way to get up and get him. And we couldn't get up, but we still ended up with him. So, you know, it was a thrill. And then with Keith Bullock, because Keith was a 30th pick.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept falling. And, we kept going. And I kept thinking, Jesus, are we going to make it? Are we going to make it? And then you start getting antsy. And I'm sure David went through all of that. But both times, I mean, it ended up being a blessing. It's interesting when you pick at that part of a draft, any draft, you have the opportunity of surveying some of those guys that in your mind were maybe the 20th pick, maybe the 25th pick. And now you're sitting at 30 and this guy fall, and you know it's going to be a great value pick. And a lot of times you can pick up some really quality players, and even more importantly, get great value for them just because of where you're sitting in the draft.
I think the most recognizable NFL draft fall for a player was Aaron Rodgers.
Probably.
And what was it, the 06, 05 or 06 draft? And he's sitting there in the green room, and the camera's on him the entire time. After every pick, they're showing Aaron Rodgers just to see, you know, how upset he was with the pick. And that turned out great for Green Bay.
Yeah.
But there have been some other top players going into the draft that Mel Kiper or Todd McShay peg as a top 10 pick. They are a top 10 player. He's going to be a Pro Bowler for years to come. He falls in the draft. A GM thinks they got a gem at 22, and then it turns out 21 GMs were correct for not picking him.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's where you don't want to be. It was interesting with Aaron Rodgers because Aaron, that was one of the first year or two that they actually started bringing him to the – to the draft.
And
you know,
with
where
the with the green room, yeah.
Yeah, they're sitting there. And so, of course, because they brought him, you think, okay, this guy's going to go top 10 or whatever it's going to be.
And it was the 05 draft.
Was it? And all of a sudden, like you said, he's still sitting there all by himself. Everybody else has been drafted. Nobody else is around. I mean, it had to be humiliating for him. But I'll say this, you're right. It ended up great for Green Bay and great for Aaron, too.
You know who you guys picked in the 05 draft in the first round?
05 first round now.
Pac-Man.
Oh, I should, yeah.
Oof.
Yes.
The 16-year-old Ryan Porth was not quite happy with that pick. Thanks, Floyd.
Sorry.
Coming up next, we'll continue with the Preds theme with the draft. Assistant GM Paul Fenton will join us, and I'm going to ask him just what kind of a value pick was Eli Tolvanen for the Preds at 30th overall. That's coming up next. I'm Ryan Porth filling in for Jared Stillman on Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming at you live from the Wholesale Inc. Mount Juliet Studios right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's Jared and the GM, Ryan Porth filling in for Jared Stillman today. He'll be back tomorrow. We're here alongside Floyd Reese. Floyd, you know a thing or two about drafts in sports.
I mean, I've been part of them. I don't know how much I know, but I've been through a few of them.
Well, you've certainly made a lot of good picks. And this weekend, the Nashville Predators felt like they made a lot of good picks up in Chicago. And joining us now on the program is Preds Assistant General Manager Paul Fenton. Paul, was it nice hearing some boo birds from the Chicago Blackhawk faithful as you guys were announced a couple times?
It was actually really pleasant. It's good to get some hate from other cities now, and it just goes that we've arrived.
Absolutely shows it's now a rivalry. But, you know, at 30th overall, you guys get a guy by the name of Eli Tolvanen, and by all accounts, this was a good value pick for you guys.
I don't know if you call it value pick. We looked at it as either good or bad. You know, that's the way that it is. And I will tell you right now that our guys are really excited about him because of the potential that he has. He's a scorer. You're always looking for natural goal scorers, and that's what this guy is. He has a big time release already, and you know, he's played in a big stage. He's already played in the World Junior. He's a kid that you know, we have really high hopes for.
Was he a guy that you had pegged and, you know, higher up in the draft, possibly top 10, top 15?
Yeah, actually, Jeff had him very high on his list. You know, we projected him to be inside the top 15, and so did most publications, actually. So for him to have fallen, it's just a benefit for us.
Paul, fill me in a little bit on how this whole thing works in the NHL from the standpoint of you've got scouts that are literally, I guess, everywhere around the world. When it comes to somebody that's from another country, he gets recommended to you by one of your scouts. Is that the way it works?
Well, generally we have scouts. We have three guys in Europe, and we have eight amateur guys in the United States and Canada. And for the most part, Jeff Kelty and Tommy Nolan do all of our crossovers. Jeff is our chief amateur scout, and Tommy is his assistant. And they see everybody. Everybody that we have drafted. He might have an exception late in the draft that sometimes goes without being seen. I mean, when I picked Pekka Rinne, I just trusted Jani Kekäläinen telling me that he thought that he was the athletic type of goaltender that we were looking for. And, you know, in the eighth round, you're taking a wild swing. But for the most part, these guys have seen everybody in either major tournaments, you know, at various times our guys in Europe will ask us to go over and specifically see somebody. And that's the case with only few and far between. But our guys see everybody that we've drafted. Nobody gets taken sight unseen.
Paul, there is probably no one in the country that knows David Poile better than you do.
Yeah.
Simply because you guys have been together 20 years or whatever it's been, and having been there, I know you spend a lot more time with him than does his wife. So being that he ends up...
I never thought of it that way.
It's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being that that he ended up as GM of the Year, I think it is, it's officially called. Tell me something about David professionally that maybe we wouldn't know.
I don't know. I think you guys know everything. At least it sounds like it on the radio most days.
It's a lot smarter on this side of the microphone.
You know, he's meticulous with the way that that he does things. That is the best quality he has. He leaves no stone unturned. He gets input from everybody, which is sometimes a positive and sometimes a negative. You know, for me, I'm more a reactionary. I know what I know, and I don't need to check with another 20 people. And I'd rather make a decision. But with him, it has to all fall in order, and everything has to fall in place. So, I mean, the information that he gathers, that's why he's been able to be in this position as long as he has. He takes everything, weighs it, and then hopefully makes the right decision.
Preds assistant GM Paul Fenton on the line with us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, Paul, kind of looking at your draft class, there's a name that just stands out, and it's mostly because of the name itself. Grant Mismatch is one of the has to be one of the best names in the draft. What can you tell us about what he does on the ice?
Well, our guys loved what this kid brought. I mean, his energy is just it's great. He's relentless on the puck. He's what we look for here. He's got the character. He's got the size and the hunger to go and get pucks. You know, I'm a BU guy, and if there's another place that I wouldn't mind a guy playing, that's in North Dakota. I played with their head coach when I was in Winnipeg, and they play a pro style game as a college team, and they treat their guys like pros. They force them to become adults. They force them to become hockey players. They introduce him to the pro side of things. So for me, he's going to North Dakota, and he's going to develop. He's going to continue his path to be a Nashville Predator someday. And our guys just were thrilled that he was there. He's another guy that was in a lot of publications and what people were saying was going to go higher. My son actually works for Edmonton, and the first two picks when we made him, he sent me a text. He's like, I cannot believe that you guys got these two guys at this position.
Wow.
So, you know, there were other teams that were thinking in the same light as us that these guys were very, very good. And I guess we're really happy to have them both.
Paul, you've had success late in drafts in finding goaltenders that can be, you know, stars in the NHL. And, you know, he wasn't drafted by you guys, but you also had success with a Czech goaltender by the name of Thomas. What intrigues you about Thomas Vomáka, who you picked in the fifth round?
Well, yeah, you know, our guys look for athleticism. That's the biggest thing. Our guys really like to see a guy be athletic and have a feel for the game and let pucks come to him. And, you know, on top of everything else, on top of our scouts looking at him, we have our goalie coaches as well with Ben Vanderklok and Dave Rook look at these guys and have evaluations as well, even though it's on tape. I'm a big person that believes that you have to see these guys in person, and our scouts do. And then we'll pass it on because our goalie coaches are too busy to be jumping around more than they already do. But I'm an eyes on the guy type of thing. And when our scouts give an endorsement and they get an endorsement from our goalies, it just goes to show that they're all on the same page. And that's exactly what happened here.
Paul, I don't need to tell you the Preds have got the best group of defensemen probably in the NHL. And then the third round, you were able to pull in another defenseman. Is he fit kind of in the mold of the group?
Well, he does because, as I mentioned before, he he's a BU Terrier in the future here.
So, there you go.
So, yes. Yes, he does. He's actually a new age type of defenseman. Like we have a skating defenseman. He takes the puck and he's gone and makes really smart decisions with the puck. And we've had success. You know, we've already got Dante Fabro at BU. We've got Harper at BU, and now we've got him at BU. So it gives me another excuse to be able to go back to my alma mater and watch our guys play.
Preds assistant GM Paul Fenton on the line with us here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, Paul, development camp is going on for the franchise right now over at Centennial Sportsplex, and it will cap off Friday night with the Preds Future Stars game at 7 o'clock at Bridgestone Arena. A couple of the guys that fans obviously will have an eye on are a couple draft picks from last year. Speaking of defense, Dante Fabro and Samuel Girard, where do you feel like their development is a year later after drafting them?
In our opinion, the two in Sammy Girard and Dante should have played together in the World Junior last year for Canada. Sammy was a late cut, but this year he will be playing for him. There's unless something astronomical happens here, he will be playing for him, and so will Dante, and maybe they'll get a chance to be a pair this year. They're both complete opposites. Sammy is this offensive jump defenseman, and I just saw him yesterday weighing in and putting on his gear. He's put on size. He's put on a quickness, and he just looks like his confidence level has even taken another step. You know, he's a year now more mature, so he looks great. And I saw Dante play probably about five times this year, maybe more, with the World Junior and going to see him at BU and the Bean Pot and a couple of regular season games. This kid is just on the right path. Again, it's the maturity part. We just got to let these kids mature. That's the best thing that we have had a track record of doing here in Nashville is we never rush our guys. And we feel the same way with these two. If we just let the path and help them develop, they're going to be great players here.
The assistant general manager of the Nashville Predators, Paul Fenton, has been our guest. Paul, thank you for joining us, and we'll see you out at development camp this week.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks, right. Paul.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Fenton, our guest, the Preds, another big draft in the books, and hopefully the guys that they picked and that Paul Fenton talked about can turn out to be good players for them down the road.
Tell you what, they've had pretty good success at that now.
Right now, you've got a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to the CONCACAF Gold Cup at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, July 8th. Caller number five will win a four-pack of tickets to the Gold Cup at Nissan Stadium on July 8th, where the U.S. will take on Panama, and Martinique will play Nicaragua. Do you like that, Ian?
Very nicely done.
I've never had to say Martinique before, but I feel like
I'm not sure Jared would go all soccer bobo on it like we did. So.
Tried to do my best Pierre Maguire impression of something outside of the U.S. So coming up next, I'm going to ask Floyd, when and how do you determine when a draft is a good draft or a bad draft? That's coming up next right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.